Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So, Sean, is there any reason why I have an echo on my end?
Well, we can check into that.
Probably would help. I'll say this. It gives me an instant air check of how I'm doing. And since it does, I can tell whether I'm doing well or not. And don't have to be told by anybody else. But, yeah. So we got a little bit of a... There we go. Well done. That was quick. What'd you do? Hit it on the side?
Just like my old TV, yes.
Yes. I mean, some of the parts are made in the old Soviet Union. I mean, if you just hit it on the side, all it understands is force.
Well, an extra button was down on my console here. Just the way it's set up, you kind of have to look at it really close.
I don't care. I know we have promoted Todd Blackledge for tomorrow, but we're going to have to reschedule it, I guess. So he does want to do the show, but we could not... I don't think it's going to work for tomorrow. So, and you put a lot of effort into that, I know, but just...
We'll keep after it.
Okay. So, for whatever reason, we'll come up with a different plan. Now, we have a definitive plan for today, which includes Nathan Davis, Bucknell's openers tomorrow night, high school football roundtable, and yes, my brother today.
Because he can't wait till tomorrow.
If I had his lead, I couldn't wait till tomorrow, too.
Yeah, you and I, we didn't do too bad last week, 6-2, but unfortunately, Kevo was 6-2 as well, so was not able to gain any ground on him. We'll see, we do at 4:35.
It's not like we can fudge the numbers, because he's really keeping track of this. No, that's not the way it works. No, you really didn't do... You were 2-6. No, I wasn't. All right. So we have a full show. We apologize about the Todd Blackledge thing. We were scheduled to have him for tomorrow, but we're going to have to reschedule. I wouldn't doubt we have him next week.
Yeah, I'm building a great relationship with one of the publicists at ESPN. So we'll we're up to like 40 different messages we've exchanged back and forth. But we'll who's counting? But we'll keep after it. Gives me something else to do.
Got a message from the suit.
Oh, cool! I just saw the suit about an hour ago.
Well, it's nice that he's in the building.
Well, he was not actually in the building. We were on location somewhere else.
Ah, coming out of the movie theater?
A couple blocks up from the theater.
Busy day.
Yes.
Busy day. Got to go. Got to run. So, Seals Grove's got its playoff game. Pat O'Brien's going. But we're expanding the round table this week, aren't we, Sean?
Yes, we'll have... I think first time here on the show will be Todd Hummel, a great sports writer from the Daily Item. He'll be joining us at 3:35. We'll get his take on the Jersey Shore side of the Seals-Jersey Shore game for tomorrow night. We'll also pick his brain on some of the other matchups, too, with Southern Columbia. Got an intriguing matchup with Line Mountain tomorrow night, so the Tigers will look to keep their winning streak going. And, of course, you got Danville. They're gunning for a district crown tomorrow night as they head for Montoursville. And that'll be Bryce Messina. Mike Messina's son, his last game. Could be his last game as a senior for Montoursville tomorrow night.
Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Does Southern Columbia actually have any real intriguing games?
It's amazing how they have dominated their competition. It's just incredible. And a lot of people were thinking, okay, now they're moving up to double A. Competition's going to get a little more stiffer. Well, what do they do? First year in double A last year, they run the table and win another state championship. Then some are saying, okay, yeah, they're going to take probably a step back this year. They got over 24 kids that have graduated. Nope. They're still undefeated. And a lot of the freshmen are stepping up. Julian Fleming is a name that's been kicked out a lot this season for the Tigers. A couple of great freshmen that are already off and running with the program, getting quality minutes. And Todd's had a chance to see the Tigers in person a few times already this year. So we'll dip into that a little further as well. He's seen Lion Mountain a few times as well. So it'll be cool to get his perspective as to how they're going to have to tangle with the Tigers tomorrow night. Plus with Southern Columbia, they're going to see a type of offense in Lion Mountains that they have not seen all year. So it'll be interesting to see how long the Eagles can, keep it tight tomorrow night out of Catawissa.
Again, does Southern Columbia play really any?
I tried to dance my way around that pretty good.
I know, but it just seems like they roll through like Sherman rolled through Atlanta.
Couple teams have had it close with them early, late first, early second. They were down against Shamokin in their game with the Indians. That kind of surprised a few people, and then they went on a huge run in the game and threw a big pile of unanswered points on the board and cruised. And Towanda was close with them last week. They exchanged touchdowns back-to-back-to-back 14-7 early, and then the Tigers were able to get it on cruise control.
Again.
I wish I knew.
Brandon Smith, by the way, has been named one of the five finalists for the Pop Warner College Football Award. Winfield Zone. The award was created in 2010, given to leaders who represent their university with excellence on the field, in the classroom, on campus, and in the community. And he is one of the, Brandon Smith is one of the five finalists for the Pop Warner College Football Award. And yes, this will be one of the awards that will be handed out at ESPN's 60th annual Pop Warner Super Bowl the first week of December. So Brandon Smith being recognized, I mean, just be one of the five finalists. Awfully impressive.
Oh, that's right. That's that show that ESPN does a couple of nights before the Heisman, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody, come on down. Everybody join us. You ever been down to Disney's Wide World of Sports?
I have never been. Never been to Florida.
Oh. Okay.
But you see pictures on TV from time to time. The outdoor baseball complex, the basketball scene inside. But yeah, it looks like quite the facility.
Yeah, I've done three basketball games there.
That's right. Penn State had a tournament there, about a year or two ago?
No, let's try seven.
Okay.
No, longer than that. I'm sorry, nine. It was Taylor Battle's first three games. And Penn State lost all three. And then Battle became Battle. Hit this three-pointer against Seton Hall. He had been four for his first 40 in threes. And he then hit three in a row against Seton Hall, and then suddenly he took off like wildfire. Remarkable. So again, so Brandon Smith, one of the five finalists. This isn't like a semifinals, there are 20 names on. He's one of the five finalists for the Pop Warner Award. What a year he's had, huh? I mean, the people around the valley have just got to be thrilled with this whole thing, right? I mean, it would have to be. Yeah, he's out there playing. He's playing great. He's contributing. Now he's being recognized nationally. You know, dreams can come true.
Yeah, a few years back, Todd Hummel was our play-by-play announcer for the Lewisburg Green Dragons over on 100.9 The Valley. He called many of Brandon's games in high school. Mm. He was when I started game night back in 2013. It was literally like every highlight cut I would play from the Green Dragons, somewhere in there or another would be Brandon Smith in the mix.
Sure, yep. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, now you're cutting highlights of Mike Frelazzo on Shikellamy football.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, I mean, we're talking long-term contract now.
Ah.
Oh, we should be.
Yeah, no disagreement from here, no.
I mean, what are we going to do, bring back the old guy?
Yeah, I mean, if he keeps moving up the corporate ladder, you know, decision may have to be made. It's like being in a game. Once you enter the suite, you know, there's no turning back. So if he starts living the suite life.
After recent events, he says he doesn't want to climb any ladders. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors has been through 25 elections in their 101-year history, and they're going to celebrate that it's finally over by pricing every new Ford at the wildest prices ever. SMC has always been the place for new F-150s, and to celebrate the election is over, you can take up to $10,000 off a 2016 F-150 Supercab, starting at $32,969. There's over 100 F-150s to choose from. SMC is where you want to be for your fuel-sipping Fusion Hybrid, getting 43 mpg and starting at $22,940. SMC is where you want to be for your EcoBoost 4x4 2017 Escape. A well-equipped 4x4 Escape has been discounted to $23,996. SMC has 54 Escapes to choose from. Now is the time to put the election behind you and celebrate the wildest prices ever at SMC in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK wants you to know about the people and organizations that help make the Susquehanna Valley a better place to live.
You are invited to the 4th Annual Winter Extravaganza, Friday, December 9th at 7 p.m. at the West Snyder Elementary Auditorium. Performances must be winter and or Christmas themed and may include songs, dance, skits, instrumental numbers, storytelling, or other talents. To register for a performance slot, call 570-541-6972. The deadline to sign up is November 30th.
Nathan Davis, my brother, high school football announcers all coming up today, and those who cover high school football. It is playoff time. And so here we go. And the weather's going to be nice this weekend, too. Really nice.
A little chill tomorrow night, but hey, it's November. It's supposed to be that way.
Yeah, November. Tomorrow, by the way, is Veterans Day. It's the opening of college basketball season tomorrow. Penn State's got Albany here. Bucknell opens tomorrow. It'll be on Eagle 107. And then Bucknell's at Wake Forest on Sunday, right?
Yes, and that game on Sunday will be heard over on 94KX.
Right.
1:30 pregame on Sunday, 2 o'clock tip.
And then Penn State's got Duquesne on Sunday at 6. So I was spending some time today working on Duquesne and Grand Canyon, Dan Marley's team. Grand Canyon's unusual because they are one of the few for-profit universities in the country. Do you know that? They're actually a for-profit university. They're trying to make money. That's why it was really a bit contentious about whether they would, because they're in the Western Athletic Conference, they're in the WAC, about whether they'd be allowed to do this because they're a for-profit group. And they finally said, yeah, they can do it. I'll say this. Their roster turns over in a different way. I can tell you that. I'm like, okay, where'd that guy come from? So I was going through today. I said, okay, there's six names that they gave me in May and June that aren't there anymore. And they weren't seniors. And they have a lot of transfers on that team. USC, Northern Arizona. So does Duquesne. Duquesne has a lot of transfers. Drake, Niagara. There's like two other guys on that team that are also transfers.
This is definitely a topic that, well, we talked about this over the summer when we got into the transfer segment with the just the amount of transfers that are happening across the country.
I'd say there were too many, but, you know, players have to do what they think is best, and obviously your coach is doing the same thing, opening up roster spots because you don't fit what they're doing. Okay. It's not the easiest thing to do. Now, you don't see the transfer thing happening at Bucknell. Now, how many years has Doug Birdsong done Bucknell?
That's a great question, but I know we have had them on Eagle 107. We've had our partnership with the Bison Sports Network since, I want to say, 2004? It was the year before. I thought it was the year before they beat Kansas in the tournament. The first year that we had
and Doug was and Doug was doing the games back then.
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah. 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 I wonder how far back Doug goes. Yeah. Now I know. I know that whatever number we give him, he'll double it because of the football experience with the suit. Football's felt like 20 years. No. Joe Sousa makes it easy, and then there's the suit. Well, Doug does a great job. And they've got Georgetown this weekend. So Georgetown is going to be the game on the road for football this weekend. Penn State and Indiana will be Saturday at noon, airtime 10:30. Penn State Coaches Show featuring James Franklin tonight. From 6:05 to 7, following the Jennifer Wakeman News Hour, starring Jennifer Wakeman.
Oh, you got the updated script. Cool.
And featuring the outstanding work of Jennifer Wakeman. That may have been too much, right? The other guest, the early guest, will be Phil Esten, who's the deputy athletic director at Penn State. We're going to talk about several things. The concert in Beaver Stadium with Blake Shelton. We're going to talk about football scheduling. Phil is actively involved in football scheduling, the non-conference schedule. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about Giving Tuesday as well. And a couple of other items. Okay, so it's and the football scheduling part, I think it's going to be the part that I think will draw more people into listening to what he has to say, because he's actively involved in how do you put together a non-conference schedule, which now is only 3 non-conference games a year, and what are the considerations as to how they put it together. Obviously, the week of the Pitt game, you've got a lot of people saying, hey, you should be playing Pitt every year. And I think everyone knows that. Like, I've tried to take a common sense stance on this, not an emotional stance. And I view Penn State down the road as being a national program. I don't look at Penn State as being a regional program. And while I understand the emotion around Pitt, I understand, because of all my years, especially doing college basketball, what the value is to the committee of strength of schedule and non-conference scheduling. I understand that. So my question is to those who want Pitt on there, when I give you that nugget of information, does scheduling Pitt get you to that goal?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors K, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Time now for This Day in Sports History. 1928, Newt Rockne made his famous win one for the Gipper pep talk during halftime of a tie game between Notre Dame and Army. Of course, George Gipp in the movie was played by Ronald Reagan. In 1940, the Steelers and the Eagles played a penalty-free NFL game. Now, if you can get through the first 3 minutes without a penalty, the game is celebrated. 1957, 102,268 people attended the 49ers-Rams game at the L.A. Coliseum. The crowd was the largest regular season crowd in NFL history. Glenn Hall, the goaltender for the Chicago Blackhawks, 1962, missed a game due to a back injury. It ended a streak of 503 consecutive games for Glenn Hall, dating back 7 years. Now think about that, goaltender. Glenn Hall was so nervous before games. He always had to throw up before games. He was so nervous. Yet he ended up being a great player. Let's see. 1963, Gordie Howe, all-time goal-scoring leader in the NHL, took over the lead for good. Montreal Canadiens beat the Washington Capitals 11-0 in 1974. Post-game show took forever as they played back all the highlights. 1991, Bernie Kosar ended his NFL streak of 308 passes without an interception. 1991, Martina Navratilova tied Chris Everett's record of 157 career titles. And Dan Marino in 1996 became the first NFL quarterback in history with 50,000 career yards. All right, Ace producer, you tell me the order we're going in here.
Okay, Steve, we're going to check in first with Todd Hummel from The Daily Item, great sports writer, and then we'll have Pat O'Brien on after that. We'll put Pat on hold.
All right. Todd, welcome. I know you're in the studio. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Nice. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. So let's start with this. How did you view the opening weekend of the playoffs? What stuck out to you, Todd?
I really think the biggest thing was what Danville did up at Loyalsock. I don't think anything else last week was much of a surprise. I don't know if I was really surprised that Danville won. It was more the way they dominated the game and how well they played defensively.
Other than the presence of the suit in the crowd, I understand that. Even Todd understands.
He gets it. He gets it.
The significance of the suit. I mean, he's driving everybody in the stands nuts trying to analyze games. Like, you know, you're not on the air, dude. All right. What is it right now about the sync that Danville has on both sides of the ball that's impressing you?
I think it's really just a matter of health. They that three-game losing streak they went through the middle of the season, you know, without Trent Hilkert. They lost their other outside linebacker. They were missing their one of their best defensive linemen, and Evan Hagenbuth. And all those guys came back, and they got a couple weeks at the end of the season to kind of get back in rhythm with everybody, and you saw what happened up at Loyalsock. Both Hilkert and Gannett Feldman over 100 yards rushing and forced a couple turnovers and kept a pretty potent Loyalsock offense to just one score.
What is it about Southern Columbia? Look, I know they're really well coached, but the personnel changes over all the time. Why do they always have more talent than everybody else?
Luck of the draw. I think people, you know, it's some of the stuff that Coach Kerr used to get accused of up at Berwick that, you know, I think people think he recruits. But I think at this point that you know, if you have an athletic son out that way and you want him to play it at a you know, get some good coaching and get a chance to go somewhere, you end up going to Southern. And you know, and add into the fact that, you know, some of those guys back in the late 80s and early 90s that were Division I athletes have had some sons that are pretty good, from Jerry Marks's kids, Blake, his nephew Josh. You know, the Hynoskis moved to that area. Henry's sister was a basketball player there. And now, Greg Holiday's son, Cal's a starting linebacker. You know, Mike Garcia is a two-time state champion. Wrestled at Bucknell. His son, Gage, is a halfback there. You know, there's just a lot of good genes there.
I mean, no question. You also can take great talent and you can foul it up. What is it about this coaching staff that gets the best out of talent and not foul it up?
I think at this point, after 30 years, you talk to anybody, you go watch the Pee Wee League teams play. They run the Delaware wing tee. You know, these kids are coming in as freshmen, having already run the offense 4, 5, 6 years, and by the time they get to they get to Jim, they understand the offense, and all he has to do is not all he has to do, but is tweak some things and take advantage of some of the stuff that they've already been taught. And the other part of it is continuity. Jim's been there 30 years. Over 30 years, and most of his staff has stuck together, and even the newer guys have been there like 14, 15 years and played for Jim.
All right, what's the most intriguing game to you that you're going to really keep an eye on tomorrow night?
Going back to Danville, I think that Danville Montoursville in the
that game,
yeah, in that AAA final. I think Danville. That game was close up until the fourth quarter when Montoursville pulled away the first time they played. I think Danville's probably better. I think Montoursville's a little better. I think Montoursville's better defensively than they were at the beginning of the season. And I just like the juxtaposition of the Ironman's wing tee and just how and Bryson Mussina and his 2,500 yards passing.
Contrast in styles.
Oh, very much so.
How important will ball control be to keep him off the field?
It's always important. I think that's one of Jim Kaiser's big things with the wing tee defense is, it's a pretty hard offense to defend. It also helps your defense because if you're good at it, you're running 10, 12 plays per offensive scoring drive, and it keeps your defense fresh, and it really allows you to keep your pass rushers fresh, and that's what you kind of have to do to Bryson Mussina-led team is get pressure on the quarterback.
All right. Over the last 2.5 months, what are the top two or three stories in your mind that we saw play out in high school football in our area?
I think the freshmen at Southern Columbia, I think, they lost 26 seniors from an undefeated team. And I think it's pretty impressive at this point that, they're 11-0. They've scored over 400 points. They might even be more potent offensively than they were in a state title year. I think Logan Leiby and his season at Selins Grove, where he's set the single season school passing record. And I think I saw Chris Massey say that he thought it was the most passing yards in District 4 history. And that's been pretty entertaining. And I think the number three, I think we don't really cover them, but I think it's really impressive. I got to see him against Chickalimmy, what Williamsport's done this year and some of the athletes that they have. Tracy Potts is outstanding, and I really like their quarterback too, Isaiah Hankins.
Yeah, I know State College didn't lose until last week when CD finally got them. They'll get Erie McDowell next week, and probably they'll see Williamsport after that if State College were to win. For you, when you look at what's the quality of play in high school football right now compared to where maybe it was 4 or 5 years ago?
I don't think the quality of play has dropped all that much. I think the really good teams are still really good. I think where you see it is in some of the lesser teams and some of the teams that I think there was 4 Class A teams that were 0-10 this year in the Eastern Conference. I think you're seeing a lot of numbers down. I think part of the issue is people are getting scared with all the information that we have now about concussions. Right. I think your good teams are as good as those teams were, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. But I think where we're losing some of the quality is in some of these lesser teams that are, could compete but maybe lose to these bigger teams are just getting really throttled at this point.
Should the suit have his own section by himself? No, I'm just kidding. Todd, thanks so much. Appreciate the time you gave us. Thanks for coming in today. Appreciate it very much.
Certainly. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Let's get to Pat O'Brien now. You'll hear it tomorrow night, Eagle 107. or no, it's, is it 90? What is the Eagle 107 tomorrow night?
Bucknell basketball on Eagle 107.
107, and, 90, yeah, 94KX.
Yeah, Pat gets to graduate up to 94KX tomorrow night. Yes.
94KX. Pat, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. It's always great to be here. And if we're talking, that means Seals are still playing. So always enjoy the opportunity.
Absolutely. Let's talk about last week's game. I know there's distance between the first meeting with Shikellamy, but what was different this time?
I think the biggest thing that was the difference was you knew what each team was going to do. You knew what their strengths were. You played against them back in week four, so neither team really shied away from their strengths that way. But I guess the difference was Seals Grove was a little deeper this time and than they were the first time around. They got into a late ball game with Shikellamy the first time around and really puttered out and ended up losing that game. 21-14, two touchdown runs by Gabe Tilford in that one was the difference. But this time, Seals Grove, they're trying to get more one-way players, and they were able to go deeper into that game and end up pulling off the upset or the comeback victory after trailing 10-0 and got the late win. To beat Shikellamy to advance. So I think that was a huge difference is just the depth and less two-way players for Seals Grove than it was for Shikellamy.
Yeah, the fewer two-way players along the way is significant. What kind of job has Seals Grove done in developing a little depth the last 3 or 4 weeks?
It's tremendous. I mean, a good example is Ricky Cope, second leading receiver for Seals Grove, goes down with an injury. So Damian Ravey steps in, the junior, only had 11 catches on the season to come in at less than 100 yards, but he turns in a six-catch performance and a touchdown in a crucial game and had the first touchdown of the game for Seals Grove to grab some momentum. So that was an example of next man up. And then also Blaze Zeider, sophomore, stepped in to play the nose tackle position. He hadn't played that all season, but the coaches looked at it and thought, hey, let's get a young athletic kid in the middle and see if that can't help solidify things in the middle. And according to Coach Hicks, he had a real good game, so much so that he's going to step in and play again against Jersey Shore this week. So the depth just grew and grew. Eric Boger was a linebacker. Now he's just playing tackle. So that's just another example of how the depth has just grown over the last couple weeks.
What area of the football team has grown where now it's become a difference maker and makes Seals Grove a little bit different?
Offensive line, straight across the board. When you think about the center, the senior, Cross Kant, and then Varner, Dries, Boger, and Ritter, offensive line-wise, we didn't know going in. These are all new faces to the starting lineup. And actually, Dries was a tackle to start the season, but they didn't feel like they were getting the edge. They weren't getting the play around the edge and getting a little pressure off the side. So they moved him to the middle. So now you're looking at a 6'3", 280-pound junior guard playing in the middle to go along with Kantz and Varner. Varner's 5'10", 314 pounds. So they're able to push up the middle now, which they weren't doing earlier in the season. So that's the huge difference, and it's just been wonderful to watch the kind of time that Logan Libby got. Man, last week, I don't know if he was touched at all. That offensive line did a great job, and they've just really provided a lot of opportunities for the passing game and the rush game.
All right, what are your initial thoughts on Jersey Shore?
Jersey Shore, well, they lost their leading receiver, Todd Sanford. So, you know, and you're thinking, okay, that's going to, you know, he's a 54-catch guy. He leads now the school in passing receptions. So you think, are they going to have to change some things? Well, they haven't done that. Jersey Shore continues to throw the ball. Elijah Shimori, 25 touchdowns on the season, over 2,040 yards, and only on 137 completions. So they continue to do that. He's had four touchdown performances in three different games this year. So against teams that, he's been able to do it, you know, through the air. And they're going to stick to that. So it's going to be interesting to see how Seals Grove is able to defend the pass when they know that that's what they're coming out to do without their leading receiver.
What does it take? What are a couple of the key things in this game that they must do to win it and advance?
For Seals Grove, I think some balance. I think you're looking at Garrett Campbell's looking to go for 1,000 yards on the season. He has 956 and 12 touchdowns. Last week against Shikellamy, just ran into a wall of brave defenders. They need to be able to run the ball some. Even though they can throw it all over the place with Logan Libby, you heard Todd talk about over 2,700 yards on the season. But they need to be able to run. They did that against Southern Columbia to try to climb back in that game. But because we know in the passing game is going to be there, but they do need the balance to be able to run the ball as well. Big key in the game tomorrow night.
And that's on 94KX tomorrow night, and we appreciate it, Pat, very much. Great job, as always.
Thank you, Steve, and hopefully we'll be talking again next week.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you, Pat.
Yep. Bye-bye.
And Pat, of course, joined by Ryan Brandt. Back with more in a moment. Nathan Davis in the next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Headed toward the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. As we work our way toward the top of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, the talk Bucknell basketball in the next half hour with Nathan Davis, and looking forward to talking with him about the team and where they're going. This is going to be an interesting season for Bucknell. And Nathan, I thought, did a really good job with last year's team.
Yeah, they've really developed a nice presence in the paint with Nana Fallon. So looking to see how he is, how he has done during the offseason, how he is preparing for this new campaign.
I think he's a really good player.
Yeah.
Man, I think he is a really good player.
I think if there was one hang up with him, it'd probably be tendency to get into a little bit of early foul trouble.
Yeah, but see, you can grow out of that, though. And that's not you. That's a big difference. You can grow out of that. And that's, to me, is a little bit more maturity. You know when to move, when not to move. I think that's the key right there. And when you look at I think the this is his, what, third year in the program, if I recall correctly?
Correct, yes.
And see, I think you're just going to see a more mature product out there. Yeah, something, you know, and he's had to go through two different systems. I mean, you know, Dave ran, and, you know, Nathan did some of the same things Dave did, but they're not, everything's the same. And that does make a difference. It does make a difference. And I'm looking forward. Bucknell's off and rolling. They have the opener tomorrow night, and then they're at Wake Forest. Now, that's off and rolling. It's going to be an exciting year. And Bucknell football, by the way, is at Georgetown on Saturday.
Yeah, hard to believe they're down to two games. Then they'll have next Saturday will be Senior Day against Fordham.
Yeah, against Fordham.
Noon kick for Fordham.
Noon kick. And that will not conflict with Penn State next week, that's for sure. Because Penn State plays at 8 o'clock at night at Rutgers. There's nothing like playing at night in November in New Jersey. No? Doesn't get the juices flowing?
Well, I still remember the your first reaction you shared with me after they announced the kickoff earlier this year. I was like, huh?
Okay. It's November 19th. It's New Jersey. What are we doing here? Oh, well.
Connecticut, Jersey, Connecticut. You got it covered next weekend.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't want it all covered? Oh, man. All right. Coming up, next half hour, Nathan Davis, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.